The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw this, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we continue the celebration of the Incarnation. It started with the feast of Christmas. For many of us, Christmas Eve, anticipating the coming of the Christ child. And I recommended that we not leave him here at church, that we take the Christ child home with us and allow that child to grow strong in our hearts. Today we continue that lesson. And we ask that Christ child, the Incarnation, to grow strong in our families. Now true, as a celibate priest, I have not a family as you do, with spouse and children, but I did come from a family. And I think at last count I got to baptize 35 children. And so I'm connected to many of the families here, and I stand in real humility, because what you do as parents, as grandparents, is amazing. Helping these little lives grow, nurturing them in the ways of faith, and allowing them to be in that strange space between dependent and independent. And we see Jesus kind of flexing that independent muscle today in the gospel. I wonder what that conversation sounded like as Mary and Joseph walked back to Jerusalem. "We've lost the Son of God." I mean, we had to go and hide in Egypt for maybe 3 to 7 years. We've just gotten back to town. We go up to Jerusalem and we've lost him. Mary, of course, says, "Well, you know, I was conceived without sin, Joe." We call him Saint Joseph, but he had a hard act to follow after the Mother of God and the Son of God as the other members of his family. But it's interesting, we see, and I think Luke puts this story in the gospel, it's remembered here to remind us all that being family is a lot of work. And I would suggest there's some things we can do to grow as families, put in that work, and there's things that tear apart families, and they disintegrate and go to pieces. Jesus is doing the Jesus thing, hanging out in the temple, talking with the scribes and the Pharisees. Luke has him even as a 12-year-old, before he's considered really a man in Jewish faith, right? He hasn't gone through his bar mitzvah, but he's at the temple and he's teaching. We should hear this as an echo, a foreshadow of Jesus teaching in the temple throughout Luke's gospel. They were amazed at his wisdom and understanding. And then mom comes in and grabs him by the ear and drags him home. I don't know how many times my parents said it, but Mary says, "What were you thinking? How could you do this to us? You're the Son of God, you should behave a lot better." Do you think he ever got that line? "Come on, you're the Son of God. Learn to be the Son of God in perfection. You're supposed to work perfectly, Jesus." And he says, "What were you looking for me for? Of course you knew I was supposed to be about my Father's business." It actually says, "I must be about my Father's business." And they looked at him like, "What are you talking about? You're 12. Come home." It even says that in the gospel, that they did not understand what he said to them. And I think that's important, because here's the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, set up to be the model family, and they don't understand each other. That gives me hope, right? That when I don't understand my siblings or my parents or my friends, that I'm not sinning, I'm just not understanding. Remember, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph lived a life without sin, and yet misunderstanding was there. But they didn't stay there in the misunderstanding. Mary and Joseph took Jesus home and then grounded him for 18 years. That's the next time we hear of Jesus. He's 30, and he finally gets to go and visit his cousin, John, in the desert. He's like, "I'm never sneaking off to Jerusalem again." But while Mary is home with Jesus, she treasures things about Jesus in her heart. She treasures those things she doesn't understand. She treasures this life that she has been given charge over. Right? This little one who nursed at her breast and is growing into a young man, she treasures this one. And that would be how to build up a family. If we treasure one another, that we hold our family more important than our work, more important than our stuff. How often I angered my parents when I broke something. And was that something I broke really more valuable than the human person before them? How often I've been angry that something's been broken or lost. But is that really more important than the human person who did the loss, losing, or breaking? To treasure another person is to hold them in our heart and to love them. And to love them in the way that Jesus loves us. That first reading, you know, that from 1 John, we are God's children now. Can we say it together? We are God's children now. And if we are children of God, that means we share in God's characteristics. We even share God's DNA, if you will. Right? We're that connected. That God lives in us and we in God. Well, then we better start acting more like God. Right? I've always think of the courage it took my grandfather, Francis, to immigrate from Slovakia to France without his family for work, and then eventually to call my grandmother up to live kind of in a lean-to against the city wall They were pretty poor. And that's where my mom was born. And when I think of that courage as immigrants living in a foreign country, speaking and learning a foreign language, I'm encouraged to do better as a person myself. Do our children and our grandchildren know those stories of our families? I'm sure Jesus' cousin knew the story of the Magi coming to visit. But they also knew the story of hiding in Egypt from Herod the Great. The Holy Family went through lots of suffering. I mean, I don't know that I'd want any of our family members born in a stable because they were unwelcome or had not enough money to get a room. The Holy Family is set up as a model family, but it's a very human family with lots of struggle and brokenness. Carpenters were not the best paid people in the village. They worked hard, usually up before the sunrise, walking to their destination so that they'd work from sunrise to sunset and then walk home in the dark. And yet, they stick together as family. What does John recommend? What is the glue that holds the family together? Starts with an L. Yeah, very good. You're going to get faster here, right? Love holds the family together. That treasuring of one another in our hearts holds us together. It's when we forget to love one another, when we consider stuff or ideas more important than the love we share, that the family begins to go to pieces. I think we have all of these feasts of family during the Christmas season because they allow us to, in flesh, if you will, to see in tangible ways the incarnation happening in our world. We celebrate Christmas, the coming of Jesus. But if we leave Jesus here at the church, nothing happens. He'll be safe, you know, like Hannah leaving good old Samson at the church. Sorry. Mike, no left behind children today, okay? Jesus will be safe here, but he'll have no effect in our life unless we carry him home with us. And that home with us is the family. Jesus is God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus is the incarnation enfleshed in each one of us. Let's carry him home today. And then as we remember Mary, Mother of God, on the first, we're reminded that Jesus alive in the church and the church as family. It gets a little bit bigger, doesn't it? And then by Epiphany, the human family gets really big. And Jesus comes as Savior of all the world and desires to be enfleshed on every continent and in every language and way of life, every situation, every family. We are connected to God through family. And I think we call God Father to remind us of the tender and loving care that God has for us. Just as when you taught your children to walk, as soon as they would begin to wobble or stumble, you might catch them, right? That's what our God does for us. He's not watching for us to stumble and then stomp on us and yell at us because we're not doing a good job. We're little children. And I think he suffers through our adolescence for decades in the spiritual life. Right? He desires us to grow strong, and yet we're slow to do so. When we struggle as family, when we struggle to love or keep the commandments, let us call on Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. That model family who at times failed to understand one another. But let's not stay there in that misunderstanding. Let us treasure one another that we might grow in holiness, wisdom, and grace.